All right, welcome to another episode of Big Fish Radio. This is your Captain Barry speaking, and today I'm joined only by Miss Alex, Alexandra B. Fishin.
Hello.
We have
Robert's not here. I get to talk.
I was just going to say Robert is not here with us, unfortunately, on this episode. So it's just going to be a conversation between me and Miss Alex here. Are you excited?
I am, because this is a fish that I have caught. And yeah, I think they're really cool looking.
We haven't told everybody what we're talking about. Would you like to introduce the fish, Alex?
The fish that's got the Fu Manchu. The gaff top sail cat?
Yes, the gaff top sail cat. Everyone's probably like, what? Number one, probably locals are like, are you guys seriously talking about gaff top catching the biggest one? And yes, we are. And I'll tell you reasons why. And number two, people from up north, I just want you to know that gaff top sail cats are edible. They are poisonous, but they are very tasty and they're actually fun to catch. So
they are overly slimy.
Yes.
You will know if you've had one on your line, because your line will just be covered in a phlegm-like substance.
Oh, phlegm. I like it. I like the phlegm-like substance.
Your hands will be covered in a phlegm-like substance. It's 100 times worse than a normal hard head in regards to slimy stickiness.
Gotcha. Go ahead, Alex. Let me interrupt
it's,
you.
It's something to experience.
Yeah. What was your first encounter, I would say, with sail cats? And like, what did you initially think when you first caught one?
Well, I was snook fishing, so I thought it was a snook. I actually am pretty lucky in that I don't catch a lot of catfish.
You don't have that, like, that mojo, a catfish catching mojo that everyone seems to have?
No.
Wow,
no.
Nice. Okay.
So I have familiarized myself with a catfish bite, snook fishing, so I can kind of dissuade them or recast out. But I was snook fishing when I got the sail cat, and it was a pretty awesome bite.
Was it like, what? How big was it, would you say?
I would say 20 inches.
About 20 inches or so?
Yeah.
And when you got it up, like, and you realized it wasn't a snook, like, what was your first take when you saw it? Like, well, did you know it was a catfish?
Yeah, probably like everything else down here. So I thought it was a catfish. It looked like a catfish, but I didn't know that it was a different species of catfish. But it's really beautiful. It has a really tall dorsal spine.
And it's the same with its pectoral fins. It also, like, the dorsal spine ends, but it has, like, this longer... It's the dorsal fin itself is probably half the size of its actual dorsal fin. Oh, gosh, I don't even know how I'm saying it right. If I'm not,
yeah.
There's a spine on the dorsal of the catfish, and then on top of that, there's, like, this long fin that continues on, and it's just like this... it makes it look even pretty,
if,
like you're
if
saying.
If you know what a catfish's skin... feels like, it's just an excess thin amount of skin. It's kind of like a banner that waves in the wind.
There you go. That's a very good analogy. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
So they have a bad rap, but they are unique looking because of their long, that's why they're called a sail cat, like a sail on a sailboat. And they also have it on their pectoral fins,
which is where they are poisonous. They aren't poisonous to eat. It's their the spines that are poisonous themselves.
Right, the dorsal and the pectorals, they do have, if they stick you, it's not even just the poison that they have in them. They have, I hope you've never experienced this pain. You haven't, right?
A little bit, but I got it taken care of right away to where no complications.
Good, good, good. Because it's not just the poison at the tip of their fins, but they also have, if you look closely, they have barbs that go... Basically, they have barbs on their fins that if it goes into your skin, it won't let it come out. The direction of their barbs is very... It's nasty. I've been stuck...
With sail cats and regular catfish?
Both of them have it. Yes. Both of them have it. I've been personally stung by the sail cat once. I was shaking it out of a cast net, and it just flew out of the cast net and went directly into my middle finger and almost through my palm. And it was so painful, I literally passed out. I literally just passed out. It was so painful. My pain was throbbing, but We'll leave that alone and get
I'm
back.
Always surprised at how clean a sail cat is when it comes out of the water. It doesn't seem like it's been feeding on the bottom in a bunch of grossness like a hardhead that you would pull out.
Right.
It comes up and it's just like...
It's like white, right? It's like mm-hmm. has a nice white bottom and like a... if you catch them in clear water, their back, instead of being like a gray, it's like a little bit of a bluish tint to it. Have you noticed that?
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay. It's a dull blue, but it's like looks very nice in contrast with the white that you're referring to. Mm-hmm. So, but since this is Big Fish Radio and we're going to talk about how to catch the biggest one, believe it or not, back in the day, Fishing Franks here, they had tournaments for the biggest sail cats every summer. There was like two tournaments I remember, and I participated in it as a child or in my teenage, as in my youth.
Okay.
And I did, believe it or not, so many people entered those tournaments because everyone's like, I can catch a catfish and mm-hmm. win money. Who wouldn't want to do that? And believe it or not, I remember some years, like up to 600 people would register, and it's $30 a pop per person.
Wow.
So, and not to toot my own horn here, but out of those, the four times I entered, I placed fourth every single time.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I entered four times. I participated in the tournament four times, and I placed fourth every time. And it was like for fourth place, it was like a $430 payout, $450. Wow. So I've made some money on catfish, believe it or not.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I wish he'd start up some tournaments.
Yeah,
that was. Although I guess I wouldn't be able to participate being a worker.
Oh yeah, you'd be biased.
Yeah.
So what did you catch your largest sail cat on, Alex?
It was probably a chunk of mullet. I don't remember, but I can pretty much guarantee it was a chunk of mullet or a chunk of ladyfish.
Wow, that's interesting because I was just gonna say. The majority, I think three out of the four catfish that I placed in these tournaments, they were all caught on mullet, just like yours was. So, okay. But a lot of people have the conception that catfish only eat dead baits on the bottom. That's not true for sail cats. They will go after anything. They're more aggressive, more of an aggressive type of catfish, and they have big mouths. Have you noticed mm-hmm. how big yes. their mouth is compared to their body? So they can, like, I've been snook fishing and using, like, these big sand brims, like, the size of my hand. Mm-hmm. And sail cats will go and attack it. And it takes them a while to get it down their mouth, but they're so aggressive that they'll swim with it and try to work it down their throat because they will eat a large bait compared to the size of their body. And that bait can be live. So, So throwing like a, you know, like those big mullet that are like 2 pounds?
Mm-hmm. Black mullet?
Yes. You can literally like cut them in half, basically what people use for shark. Mm-hmm. And a big sail cat will hook itself on your bait. And you'll be like, how the heck did I catch this, you know, 5 pound catfish when I'm going after sharks that are over 100 pounds with the same bait? So I guess I would say the best way to go after these sail cat is to use like, a shark bait. A bait that you're going after another species with. Something, mm-hmm. a big chunk of mullet, or you can put a big live pinfish, or something that's big and lively, and not excessively big, but they will go after big baits.
Okay.
Yeah. And what's like a common setup that you use, Alex, when you go fishing?
The Carolina rig. Yeah. So I have bead, sinker, bead, swivel, and then hook.
Hooks.
Leader hook.
Gotcha. Like a circle hook or?
It depends on how I'm feeling that day, whether or not I use a circle or a J hook.
If you're feeling rageful.
If I want to participate in the act of fishing, then I'll put a J hook on. If I just want to watch my pole fish and catch fish, then I'll put a circle hook on.
Very nice.
Let it handle itself. I'm just there to clean up after I've gotten hooked up and bring it in, then set my pole out and let it do it again.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's funny. I haven't heard it said that way. You base your...
If I'm lazy that day, I'm going with the circle hook.
Gotcha.
If I, like, want to get up in there and fight the fish, then I play with the J-hook.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And you probably miss more fish, believe it or not, trying to hook a fish with a J-hook Absolutely. Than actually letting your rod do its thing with a circle, right? Absolutely. It's so weird how that happens.
So also, if you're in a slump and you haven't been catching a lot of fish, I'll put a circle hook on there.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Because the hookup ratio is definitely much higher when you're using a circle hook than a J-hook.
Gotcha.
Which, by the way, a circle offset, you treat as a J-hook.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Just some people might think that you don't need to set a circle offset because it's a circle. But the offset makes it so that you do need to set it.
Oh, you notice? You've noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could set it, I guess, but I still just do the same come tight and it still sets itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. But each their own, so...
Maybe, like, out deep, not fishing ponds.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see the lean back and set rather than the actively yank
yeah.
that I might have to do at Ponce de Leon Park.
Right. You're giving away your secret fishing spot.
I do, yeah. I don't have friends there anymore. They're all mad at me for talking about Ponce.
Oh, no.
It's a great place. It's yeah. where I learned.
Where you learned.
Everything, where yeah.
If you ever want to see Alex with a big smile on her face, she has a picture of like a snook. I think it's in the store.
Oh, yeah.
Holding
it's
a snook.
My first magazine cover.
Yep. And
boom. A big, beautiful right snook after work one day.
Yeah. So back to the sail cats. I have a question for you, Alex. Have you noticed something unusual about cat or these sail cats when they pick up your bait compared to other fish? Like, let me just preface this with, if you're having a bad day hooking fish,
mm-hmm.
what's something that the sail cats offer that a lot of fish, other fish don't when they pick up your bait?
Head shake?
No. I would say it's a second chance. Have you noticed that? Like if a snook picks up your bait, mm-hmm. for instance, if you're fishing a dead piece of bait, picks it up, you miss the hook set, is that snook ever going to come back and bite that again?
Okay, I got you.
Is that snook going to...
Most likely, no.
Right. Sail cat, what happens? You pull the bait away from the fish, you miss the hook set.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Reel in and cast back out.
Or you can just, like, let it... You don't have to do anything. Just let it sit there. And what will happen? It, like, give it a couple seconds, your line will start taking off again.
Yeah, it's got short-term memory.
Yeah, short-term memory. Or they're so persistent at getting your bait that mm-hmm. it makes it fun. I remember as a kid when I used to catch them for fun... I still catch them for fun, not on purpose. but you can like throw a chunk of mullet and like you'll miss them sometimes when they take your line, but you just drop it back and they'll come right back and you just feed them more line and then try again. It's pretty cool how they come back. The same fish will come back to your bait, which a lot of fish don't really do that for you. So that's what kind of makes it fun to catch catfish or these big sail cats. So
set up.
I mean, honestly,
3,000 to a 6,000.
What's that?
A 3,000 to a 6,000.
A size reel?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need anything special for them. Honestly, like, just take one of your inshore setups that you would use for a trout or a redfish or snook, which could be like a... I know mine, for instance, is like a 2,500 or 3,000 size reel with like 10 to 15 pound braid. These catfish don't have really abrasive mouths, so you can literally get away with 20 pound leader. It could be mono fluoro. It sounds silly saying fluoro for catfish because they don't care. Mm-hmm. You can literally use a piece of steel. They're not leader size whatsoever. So yeah, and you don't have to like be too concerned with hook size. They don't care. So I would be using an inshore setup, 15 pound braid to a 30 pound piece of mono with like a, if I'm using a big chunk of mullet, for instance, which I like to do,
mm-hmm.
I'll put like a, I don't know, like oversized a circle hook in the 4-6-0 size.
Okay.
And throw that chunk of mullet out there and see what happens. And a disclaimer, though, is when you target other fish, you usually catch other fish.
Yes.
When you catch catfish.
Yes.
But when you're targeting, because I can tell you from experience, when I did these tournaments for the Fishing Franks in my youth, I'm targeting catfish with with these chunks of mullet.
Mm-hmm.
I literally caught everything else there is to catch doing this.
Yeah.
So you're going after catfish, you'll catch, I'm not kidding, I have all the pictures. I caught a 42 inch snook doing that, trying to catch catfish. That was a very nice surprise. I have caught like 30 pound Goliath grouper with chunks of mullet on the bottom doing mm-hmm. the same thing. I have caught like 60-pound tarpon trying to catch catfish during this tournament, picking up the chunks of mullet as well. So if you're fishing this way for these catfish, you will have a high chance of catching something else that you weren't intending.
Yeah. So where would you go? Would you go up in the canals? Would you fish the Peace River?
For the largest ones,
mm-hmm.
I find that like deep, like the back of some of these canals that have like deep, what would you call it? Like 10 to 20, there's some canals that like go down to 20 feet, believe it or not. They dredge it
the
that deep.
The sailboat canals.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You could do that. Or believe it or not, like the holes of the harbor during certain times of the year, yeah. They're just stacked with just catfish. They just loaded and they're all huge. When you're fishing for tarpon, you'll catch these huge monster sailcat in there as well. Just any sort of deep water. For the harbor here, just deep is 10 plus to me.
Yeah.
So that's where I would target them, to be honest. So,
okay. Yeah.
That's where I would go for them. But, yeah, so that's...
What about, say, the hardheads? Might we go about catching the largest hardhead catfish?
I think I'll leave that for another episode.
Okay.
The hardheads, but I was going to say, just to add on to these sailcats, one thing that I think just it's the, how would you call it, the way people view them is they're just a junk fish.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, it wasn't until like 2 years ago I tried it, sailcats are really good eating. If you can get past the mental fact that they're catfish, they're bottom feeders. And
you're covered in that phlegm.
Right, and all that slime. Mm-hmm. If you wipe away that slime and actually catch a decent catfish and like fillet it, it has beautiful, beautiful white meat, and it's very tasty. So
did you leave the skin on? Did you skin it?
I skinned it completely. Yeah, okay. I don't even think I could eat one with the skin on, knowing that that skin produces all that slime.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. So so unless you like to live adventurously like that, I'd recommend taking the skin off.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I would do if you're eating these catfish, is take the skin off, fillet it as you would a normal fish. Just be careful of the spines. I honestly, like, remove the spines before I fillet it, because it's just, the fish is dead, but you can still stick yourself. And it just, mm-hmm. It's not fun feeling that pain. I don't know if you felt that pain before.
Not enough.
Good. So keep it that way. So, yeah. So, but that's...
What's the biggest gaff top sailcat you've caught?
The biggest one that in the tournament here, they had to be weighed.
Okay.
And when they were weighed, they had to be gutted. So that way they made sure no one like put extra pieces of lead or, you know, tried to cheat in any way. I believe that one of the heaviest one I weighed in was like gutted was like 4.7 pounds. And... that, a 4.7-pound sailcat that had been gutted, that was, I remember it's huge. Like, the head on it's monstrous. The head's not proportional to the body. So, like, the head's huge, you see it, it's huge, and then you look at the body, and it's just like this thin little, you know, tail and everything. But that was the biggest one, 4.7.
Okay. What would you guesstimate that length to be?
Oh, man, I didn't measure it, but I would say, like, 26, 28 inches, somewhere around there, just under 30 inches. It's a... when they get that big, they do get long.
Do you happen to know what the record is?
Yes, I do. Let's see. Okay, maybe it wasn't 27 inches, because I just pulled this up on my phone, and the largest gaff top was 27 inches and 9 pounds.
Wow.
So maybe mine was probably in the, I guess, mid-20s or like a little bit lower. Like maybe 23, 25, but that's still a big catfish. But they're saying 9 pounds, but that's not gutted, so I don't know. I'm not saying my fish was anywhere near 9 pounds ungutted, but that's a big sailcat. That's huge, mm-hmm. A 9-pound sailcat.
Do you have any recipes for a gaff top sailcat?
For the sailcats, I've only eaten it twice, and when I did do it, I like to keep things simple. So,
well, first of all, how did you deal with the slime layer?
I honestly took a knife after the catfish was dead, and I just like grazed it on its skin and like took all that slime off of it. It was kind of all that phlegmy slime.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bit much, but once it's gone, it actually didn't bother me one bit. I just didn't want the meat to get coated in it, so I wiped it off the catfish first.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but back to what I like to do with the fish, or any fish I cook, I like to keep it simple. And I did something very, very basic. After it was like the skin was off, I took any bit of bones or bloodline out of the fillet. I just put Everglade seasoning on it, which is, you can find it here in Publix. It's a little bit salty of a flavor, so I didn't put too much. And then I just fried it in oil, and it turned out amazing. Just that simple. That's when you know a fish is good, to me, is when you don't have to cover it up with
crab meat.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. But I'm sure you could, like, you know how people fry catfish, freshwater catfish, so like bread it?
Yes. Very good.
You could easily do that with it, I'm sure, and make fish sticks out of it. But it's a very simple, it's a nice white meat, and it's not strong, so you could basically do anything you wanted to with it. How do you like to cook fish, Alex?
I'm really simple, so I want to be able to taste the flavor of the fish down here. I want to be able to, if someone asks me what it tastes like, I'd like to be able to tell them exactly what it tastes like. So I do everything in olive oil, sautéed in olive oil, salt and pepper both sides. I pepper more at the last minute because pepper has a tendency to burn in the pan. So,
what type of pepper? Like, you're saying like jalapeno peppers?
A black cracked.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Give it a little bit of a flavor. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure that would work really well with these sail cats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have heard the meat is just a really kind of dense, white, clean looking fillet.
It is like, if you put it, I'm trying to think of like a type of meat that it would look like side by side. It doesn't look like a snapper or like a grouper fillet, but I don't know, it's just a solid white meat. It's not really transparent. It's white and solid, and it's delicious. So
nice.
Yeah. Cool.
What exactly? I want to go back to the slime coat. So once you got that off with your knife,
yeah,
you're just did you go ahead and gut it, or did you skin it first?
Hold
it by the lip and.
What I did, I honestly just cut with a pair of pliers. I cut the both pectoral fins off and the dorsal fin, and I do that just so I don't get stuck. I don't do that with any other fish, but since I have experienced the pain of getting stuck by those fins, I just don't even want to flirt with the chance of getting stuck again. So,
I've heard so many horror stories.
It's not
IV antibiotics, hospitalized.
Right. It's not.
You got to be careful with the catfish down here.
Yes, it's not fun.
So that was another episode. Who are you, Captain Barry?
Who am I?
Yeah, Captain Barry.
Captain Barry, that's me.
Yeah, and I'm Alexander B. Fishin.
Yeah.
And we're saying goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.